Welcome to Swimming World Radio. I'm your host, Brent Rutzmiller. Today we'll be talking with 17-year-old North Baltimore Aquatic Club sensation and 2004 Olympian Katie Hoff. Thank you for joining us today, Katie.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Katie, last weekend you had some outstanding swims, but most notably in the 400 IM, you erased the oldest 17-18 record in the books with a time of 4:02.58. Do you know who held that record?
Yes, Tracy Calkins.
That's right, Katie, Tracy Calkins. You know, she was voted, by Swimming World Magazine as the greatest United States female swimmer of all time. So, Katie, you know, your swim was amazing. And now it's only 3/10 of a second away from the American record set by Olympian Summer Sanders in 1992. Did you have those records in your sight when you stepped up for the blocks last weekend?
Yeah, definitely. Well, first and foremost, it was to get a best time. And if I did that, I knew I could get Tracy's record, and I was so excited to get that because Tracy has always been a role model of mine. So to get that was really exciting, and to come that close to the American record is something that's going to drive me and keep me motivated for the next time that I swim it.
Well, that should certainly give you a lot of confidence.
Yes.
You know,
sure.
Equally impressive was your 200-yard freestyle swim where you went a 1:44.78. You had to feel great about that race, too.
Yeah, I'd say my IMs were the things I was happiest for the meet. My freestyle is ahead of where I was last year. I was a little bit off my best times, but I still think that I did really well my turns for the freestyle, which is what I've been working on.
Well, getting back to Tracy Calkins, let's recap some of Tracy's accomplishments. So Tracy won 48 U.S. National Individual Championships, more than any other swimmer, male or female, to date. You know, she was the only swimmer to have set American records in all five disciplines. Not even Michael Phelps can say that. You know, she set world records in three different events. So she set world records in three different events and was the first woman to break both IM world records at the Olympic Games. You know, and at 15, she became the youngest person ever to win the Sullivan Award, given annually to America's best athletes. So I guess you couldn't find a better role model to emulate than Tracy Calkins. Would you agree?
Yeah, definitely not. I mean, everything that she's done is a goal of mine. I love the fact that she's well-rounded, and I model myself after her, and just the way she was so dominant in every stroke is truly amazing to me. So,
have you ever talked with Tracy about your swims or your dreams or just about her races?
No, I've never gotten a chance to.
You know, I got an idea. Let's try to get her on the telephone. You know, she lives in Brisbane, Australia now. That's about 10 a.m. in the morning. If she's not out chasing kangaroos or koala bears, maybe she'll pick up the phone. So
okay.
Let's give it a dial here. Hold on here.
Hello?
Good morning, Tracy. This is Brent Rutzmiller with Swimming World Magazine calling from the United States.
Hi, Brent.
Hi. We're doing a Swimming World Radio interview with Katie Hoff, a young American sensation who's been chasing your records here in the States. Would you like to join us for a bit of talk about swimming?
I'd love to.
Very good. I guess I should introduce Katie as just breaking, Tracy, your last 17 age group record in the 400 IM. So if you want to give her a piece of your mind, I guess here's your chance.
Well, I didn't even know that it still stood, so until you told me, Brent. And Katie, congratulations. I've enjoyed following all your progress over the years, and it's good to see the record broken.
Oh, well, thank you. It's really an honor to be able to talk with you tonight.
Yeah.
Well, you lost that Tennessee accent, and it's got a little Australian tinge, so I think our listeners may be a little surprised by that.
Well, you can't live in a country. I've been here about 15 years now, and I try to keep a bit of my twang, but living here to make myself understood, sometimes you just can't help but pick up some different words and phrases and intonations in my accent. So every time I go back to Nashville, though, I get a bit of my twang back.
So Tracy, does it seem like time has gone very fast here? I mean, you were surprised to see your record still out there.
Yeah, I guess so. And then when I thought about it, I thought, gee, it was 25 years ago. And I can't believe it's been that long. But in some ways, it seems like it was only, you know, just a couple years ago. But in other ways, my life has changed so much. I think, yeah, that was a long time ago, and it does seem like a previous life. But when you say 25 years, I guess that means I'm getting a bit older.
Well, your 400 IM is still fourth on the all-time list, with Katie moving up to second, and she's just closing in on the American record with Summer Sanders. Would you have any advice for her?
Well, I think I was about Katie's age when, well, obviously, she's broken that age group record. I think just keep looking at ways that you can improve. For me, the 400 IM, I think, was my best event, but also my most challenging event.
Yeah.
And not always was it my favorite event, because it is a hard event, and you have to do things so well. But I think you have to also look at opportunities to just improve every little way. And I used to really enjoy experimenting in training and experimenting in races before big meets, to see how can I improve the way that I swim the race, because it was always a challenge for me.
Yeah.
And Katie,
do you find it challenging, Katie?
Oh, yeah. 400 IM, sometimes I'm like, oh, I wish I wasn't so great at the event, just because it's so painful. And, you know, you have to really commit yourself in training to be so good at it. So, yeah, I totally agree with all of those things that you're saying. And but it's so rewarding when you do well at it, just because you work so hard to accomplish.
Well, and if you look back at the all-time list still today, I mean, Tracy, you're the 11th in the 200 IM still, and Katie, you know, you're ahead of her in the 8th, and the 200 fly, Tracy, you're 16th, and Katie's 12th, Katie's in the 100 fly, 21st, and your 200 breaststroke, Tracy, is still 36th on the all-time list, and the 100 breast is 48th on the all-time list. So I think you both are showing that you're very well-rounded, and is that important to keep longevity in this sport?
Well, I think it helps in your training, because I found that some days I would be working on one particular stroke, and it wasn't happening for me, and it wasn't, you know, clicking. And so my coaches would say, well, let's work on, you know, your weakest stroke, which for me was backstroke. And I worked on that and improved that, which really helped my IM. So I think as an IM swimmer, you've always got something that you could work on. Every stroke, you know, a bit of speed, and obviously for the 400, you know, a bit of endurance as well. So I think that kind of kept me motivated, knowing that there was always something to work on. And if one thing wasn't going well in practice, you could always, you know, focus on something else that you know would be helping you know, your IM.
Yeah.
Are you finding that true, Katie?
Yeah, that is all true, and I just love it, just because I feel like if I was a distance freestyle, I would get so bored with practice, just because you just do the same thing every day, and it's really nice doing IM training and different strokes, just because it mixes it up and keeps practice exciting and not as monotonous.
Well, you know, Katie, you know, Tracy was just coming into the pinnacle of her career on the international scene, going in the 1980s. And as we all know, the 1980 Olympics was boycotted.
Yeah.
What kind of impact in hindsight do you have on that now, Tracy?
Well, I have to say now, well, I mean, at the time it was very disappointing. Because I think as a result of not going, I lost a little bit of motivation a year or two after that, because I had always had that dream of going to the Olympics. But now looking back on it, I have to say it was a good thing, because had I gone to the 1980 Olympics and had I gone and done as well as I had expected to do, perhaps I wouldn't have been as motivated to continue on towards the 1984 Olympics. And keep in mind that at that time, you know, there weren't professional opportunities. And at 21 in 1984, I was considered quite old. And had I not gone to the 1984 Olympics, I might not have met my husband and Mark Stockwell, who swam for Australia in those games. and who then came to the University of Florida after the 84 Olympics. And so my life would be totally different. So we laugh about it now because I say, well, you know, it's a good thing that we didn't go in 1980, but I can say that now. But at the time, it was disappointing. And for a lot of my teammates and friends who had been on the national team, you know, they tried again in 84, and some made it and some didn't make it. And I think it was a lost opportunity for a lot of people. But for me, I'm lucky that I was still motivated and wanted to go to the Olympics because that was such a, you know, strong dream of mine and a driving force and motivator for me. So while it was disappointing at 17, and while I realized that it didn't do politically what it was aimed to do, you know, it was a disappointment. But for me, I try to look at the positive and say, well, maybe I wouldn't have been, you know, as strong for 84, and my life would be different.
Katie, how do you view the Olympics now? You went to the first one in 2004, and you're poised to be on the 2008 team. Was it difficult to stay motivated? How do you view what Tracy just related to her experience in your life today?
Well, for me, my first Olympics wasn't as, let's say, good as a lot of people had done, and it didn't meet my standards, and it certainly didn't meet, I think, really anyone's standards, just because I went in so strong and kind of let nerves get the best of me. So for me, coming back, I was motivated, the most motivated I'd ever been in my life. So I came back and with a vengeance and worked hard every day and was just motivated to prove myself on an international stage.
You know, Tracy, you also were coming out of a period after 1976 and late 70s into the early 80s where there's a lot of suspicion with East German drugs. Was that entering your mind during that period? Was there, what was going on, and can you relate to some of those things?
Well, I remember hearing a lot about the East German women swimmers in the 1976 Olympics. I wasn't on that team, but a lot of, but soon after that, I made my first national team. And the first time I ever swam against them, you know, I was just a skinny little, you know, 14-year-old, and they were these, you know, huge, muscly, deep-voiced women. And at first I was a little bit intimidated by that. But then I think there was a group of young women coming through, like the Sippy Woodheads and Kim Linehans and Linda Jasek, who had been on the 76 Olympic team, really as a leader, helped us to say, you know, they look like they're on drugs. They, you know, it's rumored they're on drugs, but let's just go out there and beat them anyway. And I think in 1978 at the World Championships, we really turned things around. And while in 76 they won every individual gold medal except for one, in 1978 they only won one individual gold medal at the World Championships. So I think we were very proud and just really positive and said, well, let's beat them anyway. And I think that showed that they were beatable, because I think there was this attitude previously that, oh, well, how can you beat them? And so I think it's really important to keep positive, and I know sometimes it can be frustrated when there are signs that there's some systemic drug use, you know, in certain programs, but hopefully with the drug testing that's done now, which is a lot more extensive than it was in our day, that hopefully that's stamped out.
And Katie, you know, we can't avoid, or we can't hide the issue that there might be drugs at the 2008 Olympics. What's your view of that going into this?
I think I'm just going to try to keep an open mind about it and not really worry about other people. I mean, they're going to do what they're going to do, and I can really only control myself. So I'm going to prepare for the 2008 to the best of my ability, and if people are going to cheat, then, you know, I just hope that the drug testing system that has become very thorough can catch anyone who's cheating.
Well, I'm going to ask you both a question. I want you to answer this. Well, I wouldn't expect you to answer this other than honestly, but let's talk about the morning finals. Katie, how do you feel about the morning finals in 2008 Olympics?
Well, at first I was really shocked and, you know, had worries about it. But my coach and I have just talked about it and realized that I've never had a problem swimming fast in the morning. And I feel like out of everyone, I feel like all the U.S. swimmers can handle it. And, you know, everyone's in the same boat. So everyone's going to be swimming in the morning. And I feel like I can handle it, and we're going to prepare for it, you know, the best that we can. And I think it's going to be just as good.
And Tracy, what would have been your reaction if you knew that you had a swim morning finals?
Well, I think it probably would have been the same as Katie's, and I think at first I would have been very surprised and maybe a little disappointed. But then you just got to get on with the job and prepare as best as you can. And I think, as Katie said, it's the same for everyone. And I know over here in Australia, you know, the media, you know, picked up on that, and many swimmers, you know, were pretty outspoken about their disappointment in that decision. But now I think they're all getting on with the job of making sure that you can get up in the morning and prepare and race and do as well as you can. It's just a slight adjustment of plan, and I think the athletes seem so professional these days and very smart and prepared, and I think it'll be the same for everyone, as Katie said. So if you were not a morning person, I think you'd be a bit disappointed, but you just have to work on being able to get yourself up and going and plan your schedule and your preparation around that.
Well, I think if you weren't a morning person, you would have been weeded out of swimming a long time ago. Let's talk about coaching. Tracy, you had a number of coaches. Mm. And Katie, you will have a number of coaches as you go through your career. What is the one quality that you saw through all your coaches, Tracy?
Well, that's a good question, because I was very lucky to have some very good coaches over my career, and I think they each had their strengths and differences, and I used to try to just take the best things from each of the coaches that I had and remember those things throughout my career. I think probably the technicals, it varied from the time in my career. I think early on, Paul Bergen was fantastic because he was so technically fantastic and the best coach that I've ever had technically. And then Don Talbot was very good at motivating and very good at the fitness side of things. And then I had Ron Young, who was very positive, probably the most positive coach that I ever had. And then as I matured, I think Randy Reese was perfect for me at Florida, because he was kind of all of those things. They were all very innovative, motivating, sometimes, you know, in crazy negative kind of ways, but I think it kept you challenged mentally and made you work out, how badly do I want to do this? But I think the overall thing is the technical and physical preparation that those coaches all provided for me. So I think that was the most consistent thing on the way, and the most important thing, because emotionally, you know, and as you mature, your needs and your ability to have input into the program, you know, changes a lot more than when, you know, you're a youngster coming through the ranks. So I think all the coaches I had fit in my area of development very well for me.
And Katie, Paul Yetter has just done a tremendous job with you, and by no means am I implying that you'll be moving to other coaches. And Paul could very well be with you throughout your career, since you are now professional and you won't be attending a collegiate program. What main strength do you think Paul has brought to you?
I think Paul is just really good at planning and just looking at me and knowing exactly what I need. He, if I'm struggling with maybe freestyle turns or freestyle endurance, and he knows just the exact sets to give me, and he just keeps me going every day. He's His energy is incredible. I don't know how he does it sometimes. Every morning, every afternoon, he's just there 100%, just giving me his all, and it's amazing to me.
Well, that's good. I'm going to ask this question first to Katie, because she's probably into it, and Tracy, you might have to really recall some of your sets in order to answer this question. But just for fun, Katie, if you would throw one set at Tracy for 400 IM, what would that be?
Like a challenging set that I did?
Yeah, a real, you know, like your favorite training set in practice, or a real challenging set, and you threw it at Tracy, what would that be?
I know one set that I remember Paul wanted. I was having trouble being mentally tough, and he said, "Okay, well, we're just gonna do this really hard set so that 400 IM seems like it's easy." And it was a total of a 9,000 of a set, and it ended. I don't remember the exact thing, but it was all this IM, and it ended with an 800 IM for time. And then I thought I was done, and he was just like, "Okay, warm down to 400 easy." And then I had to get up on the blocks and do a 200 IM for time after all that. I think I slept all day after that workout.
And were you mentally tough afterwards? Did it seem easier for you?
Yeah, definitely helped me a lot. I just needed to work on calming down and just saying, "Okay, I can do this," and just taking the set and going with it instead of being I'm afraid, I can't do this.
Good, you know, that's good to hear, because sometimes I wonder if, I think swimming and the training that kids are doing now seems to be more specific and smarter, and I think back in the late 70s, early 80s, sometimes I wondered if we overtrained, but it's good to hear that some of the 400 IMers are doing big sets like that. Because I've done 8,000 IM for time.
Oh, goodness.
But I think I like the sets that were a bit more complicated.
Yeah.
And it sounds like, you know, we used to do one occasionally, and I think you did 4 100s fly, descend, and then a 400 freestyle, and then 4 100 free descend, and then a 400 IM. And then you do 4 100s backstroke descend, 400 freestyle, 4 100s freestyle, 400 IM. And you descended each of the IMs, and you descended each of the 100s of each stroke, and you added up your last 100 fly and back and breast and free. You know, and then you did your 400 freestyles steady, but you did your 400 IMs really hard, and your 400 freestyles were descent as well to add up for a time. So that might sound a bit complicated, but I'm sure Katie's done things like that.
Yeah, I think I've actually done sets similar to that, and I like those types of sets. I like a lot just because I feel like they're not boring. They keep you moving. They're really hard, but I think they help you the best.
Well, I'm just tired of listening to those two sets. Well, Kate, Tracy, did you ever think that you'd be talking to a 17-year-old who's turned pro in swimming?
Yeah, I think so. And I'm so happy to be able to talk to Katie because, as I said, I followed her career. And the opportunities for swimmers now, I think, are a lot greater, you know, than when I was swimming. And I guess when I retired, it was starting to get a bit professional. And I think that's fantastic because it keeps you in the sport longer and you can make a living and, you know, keep doing it. Whereas I think at 21, you know, I had some opportunities after I retired, but I had to retire from swimming in order to take advantage of some of those opportunities, particularly with the NCAA rules, which still surprise me that they're so strict. And I don't blame Katie at all for taking the avenue that she has, which I think will be great for her swimming. So I always expected the opportunities to improve. And, you know, there's, you know, some great young swimmers. And at her age, you know, she's doing such a great job. And to have the opportunities that she has to alleviate the financial burden, you know, I think is fantastic. So I think I thought it was coming, and I'm just pleased to be able to, you know, talk to her and hear how she's doing.
And Katie, do you have anything to share with Tracy at this time?
Really, I just really have enjoyed talking with you, and you've been a role model of mine forever, and I love hearing your wisdom and any advice you had to give me.
Yeah. Well, I'll be following you, and hopefully we might get down to Melbourne to the World Championships next year.
Oh, that'd be
and
awesome.
We might be able to. I'd love to see you swim live and be cheering for you.
Oh, thanks.
Well, thank you both for joining us on Swimming World Radio. It's quite a treat, and I'm sure our listeners will really enjoy it.
Oh, thanks a lot. And tell Murray hello.
I will.
From me and my husband, Mark.
Okay.
All right. Good luck.
Thanks.
And this is Brent Rutemiller for Swimming World Radio reporting on swimming from around the world. Thank you.
Ooh, I made it to the great